Amen. You know, it's good when you can recognize, really recognize the Holy Spirit from a false spirit. God our Father, He's unlike any other. His Son Jesus. Amen. I mean, there's never been anybody like Him. Amen. Never been anybody like Him. When He walked on the earth, that even lost men said, never man spake like this man. And He said in one place, what manner of man is this? And they had never seen a man do the things that He did. I bless the Lord. We're going to get to see the Lord one day. Amen. Our Lord. Our Lord and Savior. Amen. As He is. Thank God. I mean, to really touch Him. To really see Him. Our faith will end in sight. Amen. Right now, man's got all kind of pictures in their mind of what Jesus would look like. But we don't know other than just what the Scripture says. And, you know, to know exactly what His face looks like, what His hands look like, everything about Him. But we're going to see Him one day.
Amen.
We're going to be with Him.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. All right, if you have your Bible, turn back with me to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. And I want to kind of go back to where we were this morning. We were preaching about His appearing, our Lord's appearing. And this evening, what I want to talk to you about and preach about a little bit, if Christ would be our helper, is how to live in light of His appearing. How to live in light of His appearing. Knowing that He's coming. I mean, really getting that in our heart. Really getting that in our heart and really believing it. Sometimes I wonder if we really believe it the way we should believe it. Because we say we believe He could come at any moment. If we really believe that, we'll stay ready, wouldn't we? I mean, being ready for His coming. I don't want to be ashamed when He comes. The Bible talks about being ashamed before Him at His appearing. No doubt there'll be many that may be ashamed at His appearing, caught in the act. I don't want to be caught doing something that I shouldn't be doing. I want to be living exactly the way I should live when He comes. And so to get it in our heart, to really have it in us, to believe, if somebody called you and said, I'm going to be at your house in just a little bit, pick you up, you're going to be ready. You're going to be ready. And the Lord has said, I'm coming again. I'm coming again. So we need to be ready. In Colossians 3, when He talked about Christ who is our life shall appear, when Christ who is our life shall appear, verse 4, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Now, just back of that in verse 2, he said, set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. I mean, to die to sin and the world. Our position is that we are dead to sin. That we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. But we need to strive to live as our position is. Our position is that God sees you and I perfected in Christ. We should strive to live that perfect life. I'm not saying that we're going to be beyond sin, but I'm saying we should want to be a good son or a good daughter, shouldn't we? As much as within us is. And believe me when I say, after over 30 years of preaching and reading God's Word, I know that our salvation is completely by His hand. But our Christian walk has a whole lot to do with the decisions that you and me make. Amen? How we walk. He tells us how to walk and to please God. Whether we obey is a different story, isn't it? Now, that's not going to affect my salvation, but it will affect my readiness and my fellowship with Him. We don't need to take the Christian life lightly, the things that Christ has asked out of us lightly. We say, oh, well, that's not so bad, you know, to be a little unfaithful or, you know, to, do this or that. These things, I mean, they could be a lot worse. Well, if that's the attitude, we're going to find ourselves sinning a whole lot more than we should. And we shouldn't. But he said, set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. Some people may be afraid of this saying. I'm fixing to say, I'm talking about a deeper life. A deeper life. More sincere. More sincere. Do you believe that there are children of God that are more sincere about their relationship with Christ than others? Do you believe that there are certain children of God that are more sincere? Maybe they're even stronger in their faith. Is it because that God picked them out and decided to make them that way? Or was it because they had settled some things in their heart and said, this is the way I'm living for the Lord? Listen, you can go to work for somebody, and you men that have your businesses and you hire men, you see all kinds. You see some that's some of the best workers you'll ever work with in your life. Then you see some, it's like you have to go behind them scraping up everything they mess up. You've got some that are real dedicated. You got others, you're half the time trying to find them. Are you listening to me? You got some that really care about the kind of job they do, and then some could care less. Well, it's that way in the Christian life. It's exactly that way. Not everybody. Brother Brandon, he taught a great Sunday school lesson this morning. Listen, not everybody is on the same level spiritually. And we do need to be patient and long-suffering and prayerful. Listen, the Bible tells us that you and I, we're supposed to teach one another, to help one another, to guide one another. And I'll get to that in just a little bit. But God help us. And he tells us how to set our affections. We must mortify this life if we're going to set our affections on things above. If I'm going to set my affections on things above, I can't spend all my time getting ready for the world. Or getting ready for those affections being on things above through prayer, through God's Word, through meditation, thought, songs and spiritual songs, hymns in our hearts and our minds. What are we doing? Keeping our minds upon Christ. Our thoughts on things above. Amen? Not on the things of the earth. And so, in light of His coming, you and I need to be looking and setting our affections on things above. He talks about the new man. He talks about, and we mentioned a little bit this morning about putting off anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Those things should not be in our life. In light of His coming, we should not be living in such a manner. Put away evil. We have put on the new man, He said in verse 10. We have put on, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of His Word. Listen, our spiritual life and how you live in light of His coming has a whole lot to do with what you know about Him and His Word. Carnal illustration. Let's just say I get a brand new job, starting a brand new job. Not the old job anymore. I got a brand new job. And it's driving a forklift. I ain't never drove a forklift before in my life. Never seen, never have been on one. Never attempted to be on one, say. They give me a manual and said, you need to look in this thing. It'll tell you everything you need to know about it. How to get on it. How to be safe on it. How to keep the gas hooked to it. How to put it in forward, how to put it in reverse, how to operate the forks, everything. How to stay safe around others, but I don't never look in that book. I may learn a few things about how to sit on that, but I promise you there's going to be accidents. You're going to poke some boxes. You're going to bust some pallets, amen, and maybe even run over a coworker. I'm saying you have to look where you're getting knowledge as to how you're going to do what you're going to do. God wants us to be, our mind to be renewed in knowledge after the image of Him. It's not just help me to be more like Billy Kelly. Help me to be more like some other believer. No, help me to be more as Christ. He is our great example. Amen. Now he goes on down and he says in verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God. There's our position again, another part. The elect of God. Holy and beloved we are. If you're saved, you're holy. You are the elect of God. You're holy and you are beloved. That's how God looks at you. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Do you see the language? These are some of the highest Christian graces that you and I can have. I can dress right, look right, hold a Bible, talk right, and all that. But if I don't have these bowels of mercy, this is who I am as a believer. I am a merciful person. You are a merciful person. We are merciful because of the mercy we received. Kindness. We are kind. Most people today, they just want to kind of belittle people. They don't want to show kindness to them. But kindness is a Christian grace. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. Not proud, not a proud look, but humbleness of mind. Thinking, not thinking of himself above what that he ought to. Humbleness of mind. Meekness, long suffering. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Look at verse 14, and I'm reminded of the great chapter on love. He said, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. God's love. Amen. Paul said, if I could speak with the tongues of angels, tongues of men, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Those old Christian graces. Listen, a person can say they're a Christian, they're the best, but if they don't have love, that's not the testimony. Love is the testimony. Love is the very evidence of our salvation. Love is the evidence the world sees. And our love shows through our mercy, our kindness, our humbleness of mind, our meekness, our long suffering, our love for Christ and for souls. Love, true, genuine, godly love. This is how we're to live in light of His coming. Love. Above all these things. And look what he says here. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. As if this is going to show up. This is the way you are. If you have love, if you have all these things, the peace of God is going to rule your heart. You talk about a great peace, peace that passes all understanding. Here it is. If you want to experience peace, that peace, great peace, peace that passes all understanding, then you and I must see that our life is filled with these fruits. These Christian graces. He continues, stepping right on down. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Not just dwell in you, but dwell in you richly. Abundantly. I mean, if you hit a pocket of gold on the side of the hill, do you want to find just a little flake? Or would you like to find a whole vein, a big, rich vein of gold? He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Superabundant. I mean, the gold standard, amen. The Word in you. The Word, as other men of God have said, I mean, it's one thing for you and I to get in this Word. It's another thing for the Word to get in us. Amen. It let it master us as we meditate upon it. We meditate upon it and it will master us. It will conform us into His image, will it not? We live this way in light of His coming. Timothy talked about His appearing. We read this morning in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And in verse 5, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. He's talking to Timothy about his unfeigned faith. In other words, his sincere faith. You and I should have a sincere faith. Jesus said, when He comes, will He find faith on the earth? Am I going to find faith, unfeigned faith on the earth? We should live a life of faith, unwavering faith. He said, he that doubteth is like a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. But He wants us to have unwavering faith. He wants us to believe. I believe He's coming. I don't doubt His coming. I don't doubt that He is Lord. He is the Savior. He is the only way of salvation. He is virgin born. He lived a sinless life. He is God manifested in the flesh. I believe that. So He tells us in verse 6, He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. God wants us to be zealous. Stir up the gift that's within me. Not salvation. Sing about it. Testify of it. Amen. God's put His Word in you. Testify that. Let others know. This is what God helped me with this week. Stir it up. Stir up the gift of God. We're not talking about, Brother Mike mentioned it, we're not talking about, something fake, but a real zeal. Help yourself. Amen. God wants you and I to be zealous. He wants us stirred up, excited about His coming. The world looks at, can down the road, No, be zealous. Zealous. Put a smile on your face and have some joy in your heart when you speak of the things of God. And when you testify of your salvation. Whoever you're talking to about it, take them back to when you met Christ at Calvary. Man, that they see a zeal in you, that a real gift in you. You stir up the gift of God. I've got a real gift in me. You've got a real gift in you. Said in verse 8, 2 Timothy 1, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Do you know there are so many people that are ashamed to say anything for the Lord? Get a big frog in our throat. Listen, all that's coming from the devil or self-pride. I can remember as a young believer, the Lord speaking to my heart about, I mean, just telling somebody outside of church about the Lord. Boy, I felt like there's a bullfrog in my throat. Couldn't hardly swallow. Heart, you know, just seizing up. Almost a fear to want to say anything. It's the devil trying to keep us quiet. We don't have to be ashamed. Listen, we don't need to be ashamed of him. We have nothing to be ashamed of. This world that wants to mock Christianity and belittle us and put us down and like we're a bunch of idiots. Like we're a bunch of stupid people. Like we're the troublemakers. We're the problems in the world. We have no compassion. They have no idea what compassion is. They have no idea what real love is. I'm going to tell you something. We don't have nothing to be ashamed of. Amen. We as God's people have nothing to be ashamed of. Especially of our Lord. Amen. When they go to mocking him and telling false stories about him, say, that may be the Jesus you know. That's not the Jesus that I know. I know the real Christ that came, that bled and died for them just as much as he bled and died for me. Amen. We have nothing to be ashamed of him. Don't be ashamed in light of his. He said in verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. He says it again. For I know whom I believed and am persuaded. You know in whom you believe? Are you persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day? Are you persuaded of that? If you're not, get persuaded of it. Amen. I am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hey, he has the power to keep me and to keep you. He said, I have lost nothing. Amen. That's exactly right. I've lost none. He's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. We've committed our soul to him, our salvation to him, the forgiveness of our sins to him. I promise you, when we get to heaven, we're not coming up short. Well, the payment just wasn't enough, Mr. Stewart. I'll never hear that. Never hear that. Amen. You should have got something else besides just that. I'll never hear that. Amen. We have in him full assurance. I'm not ashamed. He said in verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. Listen, if your belief is a kind of a wishy-washy back and forth, up and down, you don't know. And listen, you talk to people and you hear other people maybe have a stronger position. Then get in God's Word. Listen, get in God's Word and find out what sound doctrine is. Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. That means there ain't no holes, no cavities. No empty spaces. It is true through and through. Amen. That's what sound means. True, through and through. Solid. Amen. Solid. A solid foundation you and I have. Live it on a solid foundation. Hold fast the form of sound doctrine. Listen, people are swerving today, changing today their beliefs. We've got it's been going on for some time. You don't hear a whole lot about it now like you did in the last 5 years or something. But all these people that are, Reformed Baptists, Baptist preachers supposedly really messed them up because they preached the Bible to them, because they preached straight to them. Listen, I'm not talking about somebody abusing God's word, somebody beating on God's sheep. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about real men of God that take this book and open up the page and show you what thus saith God. And show it in a balanced way. Rightly divided, amen, rightly divided. Amen. I mean, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Men that preach like that, amen to you. But they do it because they want to start living a little worldly. That's what it is. They don't want to try to even live as holy as they know that maybe they should. Maybe that they should. Listen, you anywhere you look in the Bible, in light of His, I promise you, God's going to tell you to strive to holiness. He's not going to tell you one time to live like the world, but He will tell you to live godly, righteously, holy. That's the book. That's the book. That's how you and I are supposed to live. That's how you and I are supposed to live. Not like the world, not looking like the world, not conforming to the world. Amen. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. He goes on in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, well, 3 and 4. In chapter 3, he tells us about the last days and how men will be, how people will be, how evil seducers will wax worse and worse. But he tells us to continue in the things which we have learned. In chapter 3, verse 14. The things we've been assured of. The things that we've been taught from a child, from the Holy Scripture. Amen. And then in chapter 4, when he's talking about his appearing, down in verse 8, before that, he said in verse 5, but watch. In light of his coming, you and I need to live watching. Watching. We need to be ready, verse 6. Ready. We need to be in the course. Verse 7. The course that God set you in. Ready for the departure. Ready for the departure. And in Titus, I'm about done. Titus 2, by His grace, the grace of God, verse 11, that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. God's grace will always be teaching us. His grace is what should be teaching us right up till the time Jesus gets us. His grace. Teaching us to deny ungodliness. We need to deny ungodliness. What's ungodliness, preacher? Well, whatever it is, if it's not godly, it's ungodly. Brother Brandon was talking about music this morning. Did you listen to him when he talked about that? There's even a lot of things trying to look godly, but it ain't godly. It's worldly. It sounds worldly. Sounds worldly. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Worldly lust. That means to lust after the things of the world. Oh, I want that. Oh, I want to look like this. I want to do that. Worldly lust. We should live soberly. Righteously. And godly. In this present world. There used to be men over in Graham County, they'd say, well, no, that's talking about once we make it to heaven. No, he says, in this present world. Oh, you better believe we'll live holy and godly when we get over yonder. We'll have new bodies. Sin won't be around. The devil won't be present. Amen. We'll be like him. We will be the epitome of whatever everything that he is. We'll be like him. Righteous. He's already made us righteous. He's made us righteous. That's our position. And he said, looking for that blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. There's that zeal again. You and I need to be zealous of good works. That doesn't make us saved, but it's because we're saved. Zealous of good works. Look what he said. I mentioned this at the first. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. He told Titus, the young pastor, you speak this and you do it with all authority. You tell the believers, this is what Christ said. This is how you and I are to be in light of his coming. Amen. So many other things.